I'm Ruby Ryder. Welcome to Pagan Paradise Podcast number 168 on September 26th, 2017. As always, we are changing the world one ass at a time. If you enjoy and appreciate my work and you want to help me spread the word about pegging, consider becoming a patron so I can spend more time doing podcasts, answering questions, writing articles, all that stuff for people interested in pegging everywhere. Just go to patreon.com/rubyrider or click the support my work button on the right-hand side of my website. And remember, an extraordinary and carefully curated selection of body-safe, non-toxic toys can be purchased from the Little Black Dress of Pleasure Products, Entice Me. Just go to enticeme.com/RubyRider and be sure to use the coupon code RIDER for 15% off of your purchase. That's RYDER. You will be supporting Pegging Paradise with every purchase you make. So speaking of patrons, let's do a Patreon update. It's been a little while, and I have 3 new patrons. Woohoo! I feel like I need new music for the patrons. In fact, I might go off in search of that, because that would be exciting. I love music.
Yes.
First of all, Randy pledged $3 a month. Randy, thank you so much for your pledge. Really appreciate you being a patron. And A pledged $5 a month. Thank you so much for this pledge, A. And then Jeffrey pledged $20 a month. Thanks so much for the generous pledges, gentlemen. I really appreciate your patronage. And I hope you are enjoying the benefits of being a patron, because there are cool things that you get if you're a patron. You get the podcast a day early, or you get lots of erotica to read. And sometimes I record little messages for only my patrons. So you can go check it out over there at patreon.com, patreon.com/RubyRider. If you go to Patreon and search for Ruby Rider, you won't find anything, because I offer adult things. So you have to have the exact right web address to find me there. Okay, moving right along. I got a little piece of feedback from the letter I read from Tennessee Booty Scooper. Here's the part I wanted to share with you. I loved the letter from Tennessee Booty Scooper. Thank you for sharing letters like this to encourage more men to feel comfortable with their sexuality. And the reason I wanted to read you just that part is because that's so important to me, that all you guys listening feel comfortable about this, about loving anal play, about wanting to be pegged, about sinking deep in perhaps and opening up and being vulnerable and letting go of control, about dressing up and feminizing if that's what you want to do, about being tied up and beaten if that's what you want to do. Really, I am here to help you let go of that shame, no matter what it's about, and feel comfortable with your sexuality. Here's how I look at it. We are only here for a limited time, and I mean on this earth. So why not seek out what pleasures you and enjoy it? As long as it is consensual and doesn't cause lasting harm to anyone, then go for it. Because shame is the silent saboteur of sexual satisfaction. And we received a response as well from the Booty Scooper himself. Here it is. In my story to you, I thought about explaining the term scooping booty, as it is so esoteric, but I was already long-winded and didn't want to get too far off topic. The word booty is used like pirate's booty or treasure. The greatest booty for a caver is the treasure of previously undiscovered virgin passage. There are few places left on earth where no human has gone before, and caves offer a last frontier for discovery. Discovering Virgin Cave yields quite an adrenaline rush, which is where the scooping comes in. You see, it is proper etiquette among cavers to move systematically through Virgin Cave by surveying or mapping the way through so as not to ruin the novelty of the discovery for future mappers who would otherwise be there without the excitement of booty as a draw. In short, scooping booty is being overcome by the excitement of exploring Virgin Cave and moving through it with reckless abandon, scooping up all the booty before others can lay claim to it, thereby ruining the novelty for future more disciplined explorers who would map their way through virgin passages. Thanks again for everything, and I will be sure to keep you updated on my future pegging adventures. So for those of you who didn't know what scooping booty meant, there you go. Thanks for letting us know, and please do keep in touch. Okay, so we've got a couple of people with feedback about the male ejaculation clear fluid thing in podcast number 167. Let me read you the first one. I've just found your podcast today, giggled, started up an episode and was very impressed. You're a wonderful host with a comfortable presence and such great advice. I found your website while searching for a surprise to give my wifey and myself, and was absolutely astounded to hear of the man who experienced prolific squirting orgasms when his partner pegs him. His experience seems to echo my own quite closely. And these remarkable orgasms are actually what sparked my interest in pegging to begin with. I, too, have been really curious about the phenomenon and am replying to your request for feedback on the matter. I discovered this sort of orgasm a few years ago spontaneously and with no physical stimulation while under the influence of a moderate smoked dose of dimethyltryptamine. I experienced a bit of the same effect sometime later during a pelvic massage with a truly great body worker. Since then, I've found that I can trigger the effect through enthusiastic anal masturbation and can orgasm repeatedly until spent, like the other listener mentioned as well. Overstimulation of the glands can cause this too, but it actually feels uncomfortable and only produces about as much fluid as a seminal ejaculation, leaving me bloated and unsatisfied. These orgasms are indeed amazing, and I found that my body and mind feel immensely calm, content, and refreshed for days afterward. During the orgasm, I feel totally consumed by pleasure, submissive, and ultimately physically gratified. The only downside is that it has to be done in a bathtub or with a large container close at hand because I can produce 1 to 2 liters in one go. While I'm the only person able to reliably make me come in such a manner, my beautiful, wonderful wife, who I love and cherish beyond words, has been enjoying making me squirm with external prostate play. We're both bisexual, and she is very well practiced with a strap-on. I'm not a typically submissive partner, but I would absolutely not hesitate to share such an intimate and vulnerable experience with my lover. Hopefully, we can have as much luck as your listener and his wife. Anyway, I do not believe this ejaculate to be Cowper's fluid, which is viscous, very slippery, and has a unique taste. While many guys may produce a significant amount of pre-cum, the gland itself is actually very small, and the plumbing is very fine. This clear ejaculate is, in my case and in the similar ones I've heard of, nearly tasteless and odorless, only slightly more viscous than water, and very slightly slippery. Perhaps there is Cowper's fluid in it, but only in small proportion. It's also not anything to do with urine or the bladder, as is totally evident to the senses with little investigation needed. The pressure and volume of fluid is also much higher, even high enough to cause serious urinary tract discomfort. I'd venture a guess that the gland or glands responsible must not be located near the Cowper's or prostate glands at all, but closer to the penis in the tract. I do feel an immense pressure before a large squirting orgasm, like you mentioned, but not from the prostate or Cowper's or even the bladder. I actually feel that pressure at the base of my genitals, where my labia would be if it weren't for that Y chromosome. I've had some amazing conversations with women who also have spectacular hydraulic orgasms, and we can find all sorts of common ground when sharing intimate details and comparing sensations. I'd bet you dollars to donuts that similar tissues are involved as well, if they exist in the male anatomy at all. I really appreciate your amazing podcast and look forward to your future episodes, and I can't wait to invite my lover inside of me. And then here's an addendum. Please note, I mentioned the use of illegal drugs in this letter because it is relevant. Of course, you may censor this message as appropriate if you quote it on your show, but if you do include my reference to drug use in your show, please also mention that I do not condone or recommend this behavior. DMT is powerful and unpredictable, and I wouldn't want anyone to use the substance simply looking for a physical thrill. I'm glad you added that, and I decided not to cut it out, and thank you for writing in and sharing the details of what your experience is around this clear ejaculate thing. From my perspective, of course, as I mentioned in podcast number 167, I thought it was the prostate because I thought the prostate was the only gland that was there that could give a sensation of pressure, shall we say, because its whole job is to make prostatic fluid so that it can build up so that when you have the ejaculation, it carries the sperm out of the body. But who knows, maybe there's other glands in there as well. I know when people talk about female ejaculation, they talk about a part of the female anatomy called the Skene's gland, S-K-E-N-E apostrophe S, Skene's gland. Those are thought to be homologous with the male prostate. And, you know, there's all kinds of people that go back and forth on it. They say things are postulated or not. It's pretty much accepted in the circles that accept female ejaculation, which some people still say it's urine. Oh my God. That Skene's glands are responsible for producing the liquid, even though they are much smaller than the prostate, which is interesting because, you know, as you mentioned, talking with your friends, the females who ejaculate, the volume is the same. Now, how quickly that those glands can produce this volume would be an interesting thing, an interesting study that no one's ever going to do because there's no money in it. It's just scientific discovery. It has nothing to do with drugs and things that make people money. So anyway, off from that rant and back to the subject at hand, this would lend a bit of credence to the idea that it is prostatic fluid. And I would suggest the possibility that where you feel the pleasure is not necessarily where the fluid is made. You know how sometimes when, like, you're getting a massage and somebody puts an elbow in your back and you feel it up at the bottom of your neck or down in your hip or something like that, it's a transference and then the nerves, you know, cause that to happen? That's a possibility. That's why maybe different men feel it in different areas. The thing that still fascinates me is the feeling of pressure. I squirt sometimes, but I've never had that feeling of pressure. So it is different with everybody. I even ran across a little bit of writing talking about how not all women have Skene's glands. It's just fascinating. And that's just with a quick cursory glance over Google, everybody, okay? But what I did take note of was when I saw a little bit of writing about the prostate that it did say this is the watery component of semen. And it does seem to be described by you guys as watery. So there you go. But let's go on to this next letter and see what this person has to say. And sir, thank you very much for writing in and adding to the knowledge base, as I love to say. This is about the man who wrote you in episode 167 regarding the clear fluid coming out of his penis when stimulated. I am also a dripper. When being edged for a long time or during periods of prolonged stimulation without ejaculation, I will leave the same clear fluid. Often it is quite a bit. I've had several girlfriends who enjoy wiping it on their finger and then feeding it to me. It is very erotic. There is no taste to it, and the texture is kind of like baby oil or something similar. It is very slippery. When being edged, if the girl places the fluid on her fingertip and rubs the underside of my penis, I go crazy. Not to worry, however, it's very normal. Like anything else that comes out of you, enjoy it. I love your attitude, but what I think you're describing is not quite what the other two men are describing. Pre-cum is not the same as like a watery, literal ejaculation. Pre-cum is pretty common. Some guys have a whole bunch of it. Some guys hardly have any. And it's described similarly by all men in terms of being really slippery and drippy. And, you know, you see those pictures in porn movie of the pre-cum dripping off the cock and, you know, the string of it and that kind of stuff. So, yes, it's definitely kind of viscous. But these guys are talking about something that's really watery. And I know what they mean from comparison to my squirting. Yes, it is very watery. In fact, you would think that it is pee, but it's totally not from the taste and the scent and it's just and the color. It's just not. But it does come in high volume, so it's not quite the same. But I wanted to read this just for the last thing that you wrote. Like anything else that comes out of you, enjoy it. So thank you for writing in. So those are the two things we got about the clear ejaculate. If anybody else out there listening comes across this podcast at this point, go back and listen to podcast number 167, where this started about the guy who has like a clear ejaculate and it's from anal stimulation. And if you have anything to add, please write in and let me add it to the knowledge base. Okay, here is the next letter. We are now into talking about a new cool thing called pack and play. I kind of racked my brain about this, and I'm not sure that I've talked about this on my podcast before, but I've done so many podcasts that I feel like I had to have mentioned it at some point. Okay, so pack and play is a term to encompass two different concepts. One is packing. Packing is when you do not have a bio penis, but you have a fake one and you have it in underneath your clothes and you're said to be packing. I think it is much more common in the LGBTQ world for various genders who would love to present that way. I'm not even sure how to phrase it, but it is much more common in those circles than it is in heterosexual couples that do pegging. However, I just got a letter about this, so this is why I'm talking about pack and play. Play part is literally that this fake cock that you have is functional. So the term pack and play is applied to toys that can rest inside your pants or in your underwear and feel and look like a penis. So somebody puts their hand on your crotch, they're going to feel something, they think you have a cock. And then you can use that same toy and actually it's functional and you can fuck someone with it or have someone suck it or what have you. So the functional part, I think, does mean that you can fuck someone with it because you can suck on all kinds of things, but the fucking part does take a certain amount of rigidity. So with these toys, there's a really interesting balance that needs to be struck. It needs to be small enough to where you can kind of hide it in your jeans, maybe, or your yoga pants or whatever. And it needs to be flexible so that you can bend it as opposed to sticking straight out and being really rigid. But it also needs to have just enough rigidity and lack of flexibility to where it's functional. So that is what a pack and play dildo is. So here's the letter. I see that there are a lot of packers that are available online, and I wanted to know if you can suggest one that I could try wearing while me and my husband go out on a date night. Also, can you recommend any pack and play dildos? Regards, Jennifer. So, Jennifer, I think it is totally fucking awesome that you want to be a woman who is packing while you go out on a date with your husband. I think that's totally awesome. Yes, there are some very nice packing dildos at a company that I'm going to talk to you about. And they also, the second part of your question, is the pack and play. So here's the deal. There's a wonderful company called the New York Toy Collective. And this company has been making some beautiful handmade toys for some time. They have been factory direct for a while, and then they had an affiliate program. They are still, to my knowledge, not doing any kind of wholesale. But they are the only really well-made pack-and-play providers of toys that I know of. So I went ahead and joined their affiliate program, and I'm going to put a link in the Linkorama. If you go ahead and click that link and shop, you'll be supporting Pegging Paradise. And as soon as they get big enough to where they have a wholesale program, of course, Tiffany will start carrying their toys and entice me, which is what I'd really rather do. But their toys are nice enough to where I think you need to take a look. Here's what's unusual about them. The reason that they function really well as a pack and play is because not only are they dual density, which once again means that it's got a softer outer layer and then an inner, more rigid core for functionality, which makes it feel like a real penis or more like a real penis anyway. But these ones that are pack and play have this wire inside them. So this wire isn't something that, like, you know, you bend a couple of times and it breaks. It's a sturdy wire that when you bend it, it will pose the dildo. So, I don't know, you could call it poseable. That's the word that I put to it. The reason this makes a difference is because you can then, like, tuck it between your legs, and you can tuck it up to the right or to the left. You can tuck it so that it doesn't show underneath your clothes nearly as much. They do have a video on their website which shows a woman tucking it and then putting on various things of clothes, like jeans or yoga pants or something like that, and showing you how it can be done. That is pack and play dildo. So I think the best one they have is called the Shiloh, and I am going to put a link to all three of those things, the main website, the video, and then the Shiloh. So go take a look if it is something that appeals. The other thing that I thought might be really cool is just talking about this on the podcast, since I have a lot of listeners, might get more women interested in the pack and play. Because for me, here's the cool part of pack and play. This is what really excites me about it. Picture this. You two are at a party and she takes you out to the dark car and fucks you before you guys return to the party. You're out to dinner and she fucks you in the parking lot before taking you home. The possibilities are endless, and, you know, in the park at night, at the top of the mountain you two have just hiked to, in a bathroom while shopping at the mall, and clearly many of these ride the edge of public play and the thrill of possible exposure. So please don't tell people that I told you to go fuck in public. Use your good judgment. And also, another thing that needs to be balanced with spontaneous play, clearly, because we've talked about this before, is knowing that you're cleaned out and that everything's going to be okay for doing a spontaneous ass fuck, shall we say, right? But the excitement of the spontaneity factor really cannot be overstated. Even if it's just the surprise sensation of putting your hand on her thigh and discovering her cock there, that is a yummy, yummy thing. So I'm going to put a photograph of these lovely dildos. And by the way, they come in such amazing colors. They come in the more realistic colors as well, and they are shaped realistically with a head that is a little larger than the shaft of it. But they come in brilliant neon colors as well, really, really fun colors. So this is another reason why I like these toys. I've written to them and asked them to send me one, so if everyone out there would cross their fingers for me that I get one of these things to check out and review, I would be most appreciative. Okay, so that is my answer. Yes, they also, oh, and you had mentioned just the Packers as opposed to pack and play. So I got so excited about the pack and play part, I forgot about just the Packers. They definitely have Packers. So check out their offerings. And the other thing that caught my eye while I was there is they have a little swinging balls. This is the second time I found this. I forgot that New York Collective had it, or perhaps they didn't when I first checked out their toys. They have two little balls that can, with a little loop that you can put around your dildo that to add to the toy if that's something that you really like, okay? I read all the reviews on the pack and play part, and the pack and play reviews were quite good, and the only complaints were is that the base of it is a little too thick for it to be good at packing unnoticeably, especially for very small people. The other thing that I wanted to mention is those packers do come in different shapes and sizes, and they do have some advice on, okay, if you just want to be packing and have it not be this huge thing in your pants and you're like a very slender, petite woman, that you might want to get the small one. They come in different sizes. So there you go. It's a cool website. They make some quality stuff. It's all 100% silicone. So go check it out. And Jennifer, should you have a pack and play experience, we'd love to hear about it. Okay, moving right along. This was posted on the forum. I am a straight male that started experimenting with pegging a little while ago. I have played with dildos, and while it felt good, I thought the heightened feelings while masturbating my cock was the experience of anal play. Boy, was I wrong. About a month ago, I bought some metal butt plugs and started playing with them. Then one night, I decided to play with a dildo after I started feeling a lot of pleasure with wearing the butt plug. I removed the plug and grabbed the dildo. Oh my God, as soon as I slid the dildo in, it felt so different and amazing. I slowly started sliding the dildo in and out of my ass and felt my body starting to twitch uncontrollably. I was starting to go to a place of complete bliss. I kept toying myself, and I feel this huge wet feeling running down my leg. Pre-cum is flowing out of my cock. I keep toying my ass and my body starts to shudder in waves. I stopped because the feeling was so intense. I took a little break and then slid the toy back inside, and immediately the sensations are back. I start toying myself faster and I feel myself pushing out, almost as if I'm trying to push the toy out, but not that hard. The feeling became more intense. I stopped and started a few more times, and the feelings became more intense each time. I was playing a little too rough and started getting sore, so I start to rub my cock and had a great finish. So finding out the key was to warm up with the plug first, which has since brought my anal masturbation to new heights. So one of my most recent playtimes, I stuck the suction cup dildo to my bed and rode the dildo doggy, backing up onto it. The initial insertion was much different in an amazing way. Then I start to push back and forth. I started feeling a warm rush filling my cock, and before long, I looked down between my legs to see pre-cum streaming out of me. I continued the ride. I start feeling a deep pleasure in my ass, an orgasm of a completely different type. I feel a huge wave come over me. That feels incredible. Then it subsides. I keep riding, and a bigger wave comes through. I continue to ride. Then it wasn't a wave. It came in and didn't stop. I keep riding and slow down just a little. I feel the toy sliding across my prostate, and I am rock hard. I rode this orgasm for what seemed like an eternity. Before I know it, I'm having a prostate orgasm and a genital orgasm, no hands. I look down, and the towel that is under me is soaked in prostate pre-cum and cum. But I don't want to stop because the feeling is mind-numbing. I speed up the ride, and before long, my whole lower abdomen contracts. I'm bearing down uncontrollably and am sent through the roof. Without me realizing, I'm holding my breath while pushing out. While thrusting my hips back and forth onto the dildo, I am coming so hard that I black out for a moment due to holding my breath and pushing out at the same time. Think massive head rush. I was on all fours with the toy buried all the way inside me. I come back to my senses, down on my elbows, forehead on the bed, ass up with the toy half out of me. I slide forward till the toy slides out of me with one last orgasmic twitch as it exits my ass. I turn over, remove the toy's suction cup from the headboard, and lay on my back. I slid the toy back in and started rubbing my cock. Within seconds, I feel an incredible aching in my ass again, and now my cock at the same time. I came almost immediately. Not much in the way of cum. I think I didn't have anything left. All I could do is lay there, body twitching uncontrollably until I calmed down. Now I just need to find me a woman who will peg me like this. Oof. That's wonderful, the oof at the end. And a great story. Well told. You gave so many great details about this, which I think everybody will really appreciate. So warming up with the plug really made the difference and kind of started you off on your journey. That's amazing and way cool at the same time. But to have access, it is almost like the key that opened up everything, because when you put those dildos in there, especially the suction cup action dildo where you're riding it, that really seemed to make the difference. And your description of it being a completely different kind of pleasure was amazing. So you're one of those lucky guys that has multiple orgasms. Check it. And the hands free. You know what I think I'm going to do after reading this? I just have one piece about multiple orgasms and prostate orgasms, kind of. And it's a personal experience piece. And when you have a WordPress website and you have little stars that can rate what you've written, you see whether people like what you've written or not. And I think what happens is people come and they find that in a Google search and they come and read it and they want a whole lot more information. I think what I'm going to do is at the end of that article, I'm going to put all of the different times that guys have written in describing an experience like this. To once again, I mean, you guys are sick of this phrase now, add to the knowledge base, because the more personal experiences that are related, the more we can draw conclusions about the similarities between the stories. Right now, what I know encourages a hand-free orgasm is abstinence for a while, so you don't come for a while. Edging helps. bearing down on it, which you describe really well. It seemed like it was instinctive with you. Some people describe it as gripping the toy. Those are some of the things that I've heard about, and I know there might be a couple more, but they're not coming to mind at the moment. Anyway, you've inspired me to take your story and others as well and add them to that article and then put a link in the main part of my website so that it's easier to find, because this is amazing. I so enjoyed reading it, and I'm thrilled that I get to share it with my listeners. So thank you for writing in, sir. And yeah, oof. Good luck finding the woman to peg you.
Do you fantasize about having a sexier, more satisfying life? Entice Me is devoted to teaching men and women about positive, pleasure-focused approaches to sexuality. Whether you're spicing it up in the bedroom with your partner, planning a private retreat, or looking to just feel sexier, Entice Me will help fulfill your desires. Entice Me works with your needs to make positive changes in your life, in and out of the bedroom. Entice Me offers an award-winning, luxury line of ultra-fashionable, sophisticated haute toys and pleasure objects, which are of the highest quality. With in-home education, demonstrations, and discreet shopping, you'll have the time of your life spicing up your sex life. So what are you waiting for? Visit enticeme.com for more information about our products and services, or simply call 714-386-9684. That's 714-386-9684. Entice Me, making it a sexier world.
First off, thanks for doing what you do. I think your information is great, and I'm sure you're helping a lot of people. I thought about posting this on the forum, but I'm not sure I want it coming up on any internet search if my wife starts researching pegging. I suppose I'm writing to vent, because I don't have anyone else I really can talk to. So thanks for your patience. Here's my story. I'm married, 3 kids, have always had a really vanilla sex life. My wife is against sex toys because she feels that they overstimulate and may wreck normal sex. There's an issue with her, too. She's been off work on disability with a mental health issue for 3 years now. The latest medication that she's on is really reducing her desire for sex, which is unfortunate because at the same time I've been trying to take good care of myself, and my desire has increased a lot. Over the past couple of weeks, I really started to want to be pegged. The desire is really intense. It just seems like it would be the most fun and intense experience ever. I read your guides on how to bring it up and took heed of the go slow advice. I worry that even expressing interest in some things once can forever color a woman's image and opinion of a man. A while ago, she watched a TV show, it's French, from Quebec, Canada, called Sexplora. They have one episode on male pleasure. She picked up a couple of fun techniques, one involving pressing on my perineum. She had said there were 3 techniques on the show, but she only did 2, thinking I wouldn't like the last one. I decided to start the pegging arc by communicating that I really liked the perineum technique, then asking what the 3rd technique was, thinking it might have been prostate stimulation. We watched a bit of the episode, and she turned it off just as they showed a whole bunch of butt plugs and a Neros toys, and said the 3rd technique must have been something to do with the testicles. Damn, I thought, that didn't go well. So this morning we were talking again about her lack of sexual desire, and I looked up, for fun, male sex toys. When she asked me what I was doing, I said if I'm going to be doing more masturbating, then maybe there's something interesting to try. She said, oh, they talked a lot about male toys on that show. You can put a vibrator where I put my hand, or something like that. We have a discussion about the toys maybe being too intense and providing stimulation that she can't normally. And I said that I've heard that prostate stimulation, the direct way, through the bum, is supposed to be insane. She said that the show actually covered a lot on prostate stimulation and, quote, they have toys for that. I can get you one of those. I'm certainly not putting my fingers up there for you, end quote. I said I'd think about it, when I probably should have said, sure, get one, because I'm worried about her attitude towards me. After she said that, she's read a lot about men just trying to channel their sexual energy into positive activities, and they really accomplished a lot. I think I still may try to take her up on the offer to get a toy. Imagine if a sales lady walks her through the store and says, here are the strap-ons, men love these. Wishful thinking, but I think this way I still end up with an Aneros in my ass. Do it once in a while, talk about how good it is, and eventually it becomes normal. Then maybe I can roll that into pegging one day. Worst case scenario is that this just drives a wedge between us because I'm sort of building my sex life without her. What do you think? Do I have a communication issue? Any advice? Thanks so much. You're awesome. Mike in Canada. Mike, thanks for writing in. Here are the things in your letter that kind of jump out at me. First of all, the whole issue of her being on medication that has reduced her desire for sex. Because that puts you in a situation where you are not getting your needs met sexually within your relationship. So, of course, you're going to be turning to more masturbation, which you made a point of talking about. At the end of your letter, you write, worst case scenario is that this just drives a wedge between us because I'm sort of building my sex life without her. Well, you're kind of building a sex life without her anyway because she hardly ever wants sex and you want it a lot. So to stay within your monogamous relationship and keep your promises, you kind of need to build a sex life without her. It's almost as if you're looking at the situation as if you masturbate a whole bunch and explore new sexual territory with your body, that you are somehow being unfaithful to her. And that's not exactly what you said, but I get that feeling from you. And I would reframe that for you. It is not building a sex life without her if you choose to explore this part of your body on your own. It is sexual exploration of your own body, which we all deserve and should embrace 100%. Plus, remember the thing that I tell all the new people, which is that, guys, you should be doing your own exploration, your own self-play with the toy that you hope to eventually use to get pegged, so that when you get to that point, you are calmer, you are more relaxed, you know it's going to feel good, you know which angle, I mean, all of those things. That's all such valuable information. And it's a really good idea to do some self-play first. So, moving along here. So another thing I wanted to comment on was how she said that she's read a lot about men trying to just channel their sexual energy into positive activities, and they've really accomplished a lot. It sounds like what she is suggesting there is that you should just be satisfied with less sex, and that you should channel your sexual energy into doing positive things. Well, excuse me, but I think that's fucking bullshit. That's what I think. Here's why I think that. The healthiest prostates are from men who ejaculate at least once a day. That's the best thing that you can do for your prostate, okay? So channeling your sexual energy into other things is a nice idea, and it helps her not have to feel as guilty about not meeting your sexual needs, but it's not okay. From my perspective, I think that given a do-or-die sort of situation where you have to choose, and she doesn't want anything to do with any kind of anal stimulation with you, that should you find in yourself in that situation, that you should go ahead and start doing your own masturbatory rituals and explore your ass and have a really good time with that. But we're not there yet, so let's back up. So anyway, that suggestion of hers, that mention, I think is not okay. And I think that I would give her information regarding this. So, you know, I mentioned patience, I mentioned going slow, but I also mentioned information. And it's really important to give her information about how healthy prostates ejaculate more, okay? And I will give you the link to the study that proves this. They've done a study on it. So I'm going to put that in the Linkorama so you have access to it. You can show her that. And then from there, I think it is important to go slow. I would definitely take her up on the toy. She didn't really say, or at least your phrasing didn't imply, that she wants you to get the toy so that you can just have a good time with it yourself. I think that she shows initiative of wanting to please you and have, you know, the different tricks and stuff that she got from that show. And so if this is one more way that you can check it out, maybe while she's giving you a blowjob or something like that, and seeing how that feels, what it sounded like to me was that she just didn't want to put her fingers in there. And you know, there's a fair amount of women that are like that. They're like, no thanks, not putting it in there. And even with gloves, they're just not interested in that. It's sort of ooky. But at the same time, they don't mind putting a toy in there. And goodness, if she won't put her fingers in there, but she put a toy in there, you're pretty much there anyway. Forget the harness, forget the whole pegging thing until you've gotten her a little bit more used to anal play during your sexy times. and emphasize that in your reading of it, you've discovered, you know, you said that to her, that, you know, accessing it through the bum is insane. Well, elaborate on that and say, you know, the men talking about it say that there's, you know, 10 times as intense of an orgasm to be had. And so I'd really like to explore that with you. So yes, let's get a toy. And by the way, I'd like to use this toy and masturbate and have a good time because my prostate needs to be healthy and I need to ejaculate a lot. Maybe you don't want to say it quite like that, but you get my point. Those are the concepts that need to be communicated to her. Do take it slow, see how that works. And at some point in time, it might be the right time once she's gotten used to using prostate toys on you and maybe even a dildo that looks unrealistic so she doesn't freak out. If that's something that might set her off, you know her better than we do and that I do. Then at that point in time, maybe podcast number 112 would be something you can bring up to her. And at that point in time, it would be good because she's already done the anal play on you and she knows you're not gay and that it's not going to turn you gay, and all of these misconceptions and things will hopefully be fewer in her mind and she'll be more open to the whole concept. So give that a try. Good luck. Let us know how it goes. And thanks for writing in. Okay, here's one more email. I have enjoyed pegging and anal play for many years. Now I am facing the loss of my prostate due to cancer. Do you have any male followers that have contacted you about post-operative pegging? My own research indicates considerable decline in orgasmic intensity and obviously loss of fluid secretion and ejaculate, which is something I produce in abundance to date. I have not encountered any specific information on men being pegged after recovery from prostatectomy, and I'm hoping you may have encountered some personal accounts from followers. Any information on this subject is greatly appreciated. First, let me say that I'm sad to hear the news. It's great that you've enjoyed pegging for so long, and yes, I have run across this question before. So what I'm going to do is actually just read it from the start as if it's a whole new thing, because I think there's a number of people out there who may have the same question, and to repeat this information is no problem at all. For those who want to listen to the original version, this is on podcast number 35. And it was in response to a woman who wrote in regarding her husband about to have this same surgery, have his prostate removed due to cancer. So here's what I have. I went to the place where, as far as I know, there are the most men who know all about prostate questions, the Aneros Forum. I did a search on the forum there and indeed found a man who had surgery himself and graciously shared his story with me, also giving me permission to share it with you. There have got to be other men or couples who wonder if pegging will still be something they can indulge in with pleasure post-prostate surgery. So my friend shared his story in the spirit of helping others in the same situation. As he said, it's all about pleasure. I did discover there are three different types of treatment for prostate cancer. One is prostate removal, and some surgeons try to carefully remove the nerves from the prostate. One is a cryotherapy of some type, and the other is focused radiation treatment. With the first, the entire prostate is removed. With the other two, the prostate is not removed but treated. So this is from my friend at the Aneros Forum. I had external beam radiation treatment for prostate cancer, so I still have my prostate, though I have noticed some significant changes in bodily responses since the treatments. It has now been 5 years since the treatments have ended, and as far as I know, there is no evidence of a return of cancer, so that's the good news. The bad news is that I have experienced significant nerve damage, which has impacted my ability to perceive pleasurable sensations. I would guesstimate about 30 to 40% loss in prostate sensitivity and pleasure, as well as decreased erectile functioning, which when combined with other medications has left me functionally impotent. For most men, including myself, this is a devastating blow to one's ego, feelings of self-worth, and adequacy of being a man. I wallowed in a bit of depression both before and after my treatment, but eventually came to reflect and ponder about my alternatives and the positives I could take from this life experience. What have I learned, and what can I learn? My early positive Aneros experiences had already taught me that a penile focus for pleasure was not necessary. I learned as a result of my Aneros erotic meditations practice that there are other areas of the body which can provide erotic delight, and the anus was just one of those areas. The other obvious areas were my nipples, testicles, scrotal sac, and earlobes. These are all physical areas for stimulation which do help compensate for some of the prostate sensitivity lost. My Aneros practice also developed my pelvic floor muscles to a point where I can derive some pleasurable feelings just by performing rhythmic contractions of those as well. While I have not experienced any pegging, my postmenopausal wife's libido has crashed, my solo erotic explorations using a dildo have led to some pleasurable discoveries beyond the stimulus of just the anal stretching and massaging. While I don't know to what extent the nerves surrounding the prostate contribute to this, I have found a dildo stimulates the seminal vesicles in a pleasurable manner, and as the depth of penetration increases, the pressure exerted at Hirsch's sphincter, which is the junction of the sigmoid colon and rectum, can be quite pleasant as well. In my case, the pressure at Hirsch's sphincter is only felt if I am very relaxed there. Otherwise, this can be very painful. So it is important for this deep penetration to be slowly worked up to in a very gentle and loving manner. I think in a pegging situation, the partners need to be very communicative to assure the comfort of the receiver with such deep penetration. Now, the above paragraph addresses the physical side of things, but really, the bigger impact is how this all plays out in one's mind. You can have nerve impulses and sensations being received from all the varying erotically charged spots on your body, but your mind assigns the value judgment of pleasure or pain to these sensations. As you noted in your message to me, and I completely agree with you here, orgasms are mental far more than physical. This is a concept I didn't fully appreciate until I started to practice Jack Johnston's KSMO protocol. Okay, now, given the above, your reader question, will he still get pleasure from being pegged if his prostate is no longer there? To be honest, I don't know, but I think he can learn to do so. There are so many ways to provide pleasurable physical stimulation that a focus on the prostate or lack thereof seems unnecessary, especially in light of the fact one can achieve orgasms with little or no physical stimulation. My suspicion is that this loving couple will find pleasure between them through pegging. As long as the husband is not experiencing any pain, even if he's not experiencing intense physical pleasure, I suspect he will experience emotional pleasure. So that was his message to me, and here's my commentary on it. So this is pretty advanced thinking, I know, but there are indeed people, men and women, who can give themselves an orgasm pretty much just by thinking about it. As far as I know, it is a learned response that involves breathing and meditating and other techniques. I can't personally recommend Jack Johnston's protocol because I haven't tried it, but it does seem to have good reviews on Amazon, and frankly, I am fascinated. It makes sense that if you cannot find pleasure the traditional way because of prostate removal or surgery, then find another way to feel that pleasure if you can. I will link to Jack Johnston's work on my blog. Thanks to my friend from the Aneros Forum for sharing so openly with us. Much appreciated. So glad to hear you are still cancer-free. And then to the guy who wrote in with this question, I hope this provides a little more information for you. And perhaps there's still pleasure to be found from pegging for you after you heal. And perhaps there are other pleasures to be found in a more unconventional manner. Most importantly, I hope the surgery goes well and that you enjoy many more years of seeking pleasure. And I'm going to put Jack Johnston's link with his work in my Linkorama, of course. And good luck to you, sir. Thank you for the question. That knowledge base is pretty slim, so I was really happy to have something to offer you that was substantial. Okay, that's it for this time. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum. Pegging101.com has all the informational pegging articles without the kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps, which you can find a sampling of under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you like. The Follow tab has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, check out my Facebook page. And if you order any new sexy toys from enticeme.com, please remember to use the coupon code RIDER for 15% off of your purchase. That's RYDER. Send your questions to ruby@peggingparadise.com. No question is too unusual, too unadulterated, or too unfathomable. Many listeners are going to learn along with you, so don't be shy. Throw those questions in my mailbox or give me a call at 805-500-6544. That's 805-500-6544. Thank you for downloading and listening, everybody. You rock. Happy pegging.